This is a Hawley Baptist Church podcast, bringing you into a community in which everyone is welcome, lives are changing, and Jesus is King. Thanks for listening with us today. We would invite you to subscribe so you can keep up to date with us. But for now, we pray you enjoy listening for what God has in store for you in this episode, and that it helps change your life for the better, in Jesus' name. Enjoy. My name's Daz, like the soap powder, but I'm not as clean. I am the children and family pastor here. And I know today it's all about Jesus rising from the dead, coming back to life, conquering death and rising in victory. I'm going to rewind the story a little bit. I want to focus on a character called Barabbas because I'll tell you why. This is my logic and hopefully it makes sense. In my early life, I wasn't really a Christian. And I think I struggled to connect the Easter story with my life. I think that's how I would describe kind of my experience. So what I want to do today is explore some of the why of Easter. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. What does that mean? Why is that? And I think I found just a character that I've always glossed over who just helped me understand it in a little bit more of a concrete way. Because many of us, I'm going to assume, know the Easter story, that week of Jesus' life, all the different things that happened. But we maybe know it very roughly, and some of the details we might miss out. I went to school. I did it at RE. You know, we heard the story. Jesus died on the cross. He did, you know, for your sins. And I sort of kind of came away thinking, you know, Christians said that, blah, blah, blah. But I didn't ask Jesus to do that for me, and I don't really understand why he necessarily needed to. I didn't really pay attention maybe as well as I could have done. And then one day, I'm on a school trip. I think we went to Notre Dame, some big cathedral-y church thing. And as we're walking out, my mate Henry Whitcomb, his name was, love that guy, he goes, "Do you think you believe in God, Daz?" And for the first time in my life, I thought, I don't think I've ever thought that all the way through. Like, no one's ever really asked me in such a way that made me think, do I really believe in God? And in my head, I thought, well, I don't not believe in God, I don't think. When I look at the world around me and all the order that's kind of there, and I think I struggle to believe it comes from nothing. So maybe I do, was what I said to him. Maybe, I think, yes, maybe I do. And then that was the end of that conversation. We never spoke ever again about God. And I'm sitting on the bus after thinking, if I believe in God, and I think maybe I do, I'm sort of deciding. The next question in my mind is like, well, what does God think of me and my life? And that was a bit of a trickier one. But somewhere in the back of my mind, I went to Sunday school like twice when I was a kid. There was this answer like, well, Jesus loves everybody, Dan. So maybe Jesus loves you. But if Jesus loves everyone, like some, you know, my face is one of many that Jesus loves. And I think the love of Jesus becomes a bit diluted when we think of it like that. It's kind of like if you've got siblings. Anybody got siblings? I've got two younger sisters. You kind of want to be your parents' favorite child. Anybody else get that vibe? I think I probably am my mom and dad's favorite, just for the record. But they never said that. They never admitted that to me. Because they're good parents, I guess. It's kind of the same. We want to know that God, like, really loves us. I do, anyway. And how can we know that's true? And that's what I want to explore today. That was a long introduction. I want us to examine a really specific character in the Easter story. His name's Barabbas. We're going to jump in. So we rewind from Jesus coming back from the dead. He hasn't died yet. He's on trial. He's with the guy called Pontius Pilate, who's like a Roman governor. So there's like the Roman Empire. There's the local people. He's the guy in between. He kind of has to deal with all that stuff. We're going to jump in. If you've got a Bible, it's Matthew chapter 27. If not, it's going to be up on the Sky Bible. You can just read it up there. So one of the kids called it the Sky Bible once, and I thought, I'm using that. That's good. Let's read this together. So it was the governor's practice at the Passover feast to let one prisoner go free. The people could choose the one they wanted. And at that time, they had a well-known prisoner named Barabbas. And so when the crowd gathered, Pilate asked them, "Which one do you want me to set free, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" Pilate knew that the leaders wanted to get their own way. He knew this was why they'd handed Jesus over to him. So while Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent a message to him. It said, "Don't have anything to do with that man. That man's Jesus. He's not guilty. I've suffered a great deal in a dream today because of him." So Pilate gets a message from his wife. He doesn't listen to it. and it all goes a bit wrong. There's a lesson in there, gents, just saying. But the chief priests and the elders talk to the crowd in asking for Barabbas, talk the crowd into asking for Barabbas and having Jesus put to death. Which of the two do you want me to set free? Asked the governor. Barabbas, they answered. Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah? Pilate asked. They all answered, crucify him. Why? What wrong has he done? Asked Pilate. But they shouted even louder, crucify him. And Pilate saw that he wasn't getting anywhere. Instead, the crowd was starting to get angry. So he took water, he washed his hands in front of them. He said, I'm not guilty of this man's death. You are accountable for that. And all the people answered, put the blame for his death on us and our children. And Pilate let Barabbas go free, but he had Jesus whipped. Then he handed him over to be nailed to a cross. And that is all that we really know about Barabbas. Apart from, in Mark's gospel, he kind of tells us he'd been the leader of like an insurrection or a bit of a rebellion, and people have been killed, so he's probably murdered people. That's all that we know about him. And I've always kind of glossed over Barabbas. I think in my experience, he's at least, he's kind of just a guy who profits from this weird like thing that happens at Passover. Someone gets to go free. Pilate kind of pits him up against Jesus in the hope, I guess, that the crowd will kind of see sense when they realize it's this innocent man or this murderous man who you're going to have. And that goes very south. And there Pilate stands on this just blasphemous stage. On the one hand, he's got God's own son, you know, Jesus. And then on the other side is Barabbas, this sort of thug and rebel character. And he asks this outrageous question. Which one do you want me to set free? Is it Barabbas, this violent, pig-headed, self-interested, and ultimately murderous person who frankly probably deserves what's coming to him? Or is it Jesus, who, I mean, all he's ever done is heal, restore, preach peace and goodness, and seek after God, who's opened blind eyes, opened deaf ears, loosed mute mouths? This question that Pilate asks is just, it's outrageous, it's despicable. It's a bit illogical, really, as well. But throughout this whole thing, Jesus remains silent, doesn't say a thing. Because Jesus understands that what's going on here is bigger than what people can see. It's bigger than what people can understand. And he knows that Barabbas deserves everything he's about to get. Jesus knows what's coming. He knows he's going to be whipped, nailed to a cross, he's going to die, it's going to be awful. He knows it's coming. But Jesus also knows that God needs to treat Jesus like Barabbas so that he can treat Barabbas like Jesus. You see, when I read this story recently, and maybe I'm a bit slow on the uptake, and this is really obvious to everybody, but I understood something for the first time, and that is that Barabbas, he's me. That's me. And that's you. And we can see ourselves in the Easter story because we're all a bit like Barabbas. Maybe we've never killed anybody. Hopefully that's true. Maybe you've not led a rebellion against the government. You might want to right now. But I'm assuming that if you're sat in this room or you're watching online, you haven't done those things. But Barabbas is someone who's tried to overcome the oppression in his life. He's tried to overcome the circumstances in his life in his own strength. And he just failed at that. He's someone who's tried to shape his own destiny or the destiny of those in his life, and he's come against hostility and failure. Barabbas is someone who's made mistakes. He's done some dumb stuff, and now he's got to deal with the consequences of that. He's got to pay the price. And when Barabbas woke up on that morning, he probably expected to have to go and face a slow and painful death. Instead of that, he's set free. And just completely forgiven. He's, in my imagination, he goes home and just enjoys the Shabbat meal with his family. And they sit around and they weep with joy at what on earth has happened in his life. But the tricky thing about Barabbas' story, in my opinion, is that we have no idea how he responds. There's no indication that he has any sense of conscience. He says, oh, Jesus has given everything for me, so now I will give everything for him. It doesn't say that in the Bible. There's nothing there. We don't know what happens. And the book of Romans, written by a man called Paul, says this. He says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, is that while we were still sinners, while we were like Barabbas, Christ died for us. And whether or not Barabbas accepts Jesus' sacrifice gladly, completely transforms his life, maybe gets baptized and becomes a follower, is irrelevant. Jesus would have made it happen anyway. And I sat with this story, and I'm thinking, I'm preaching on Easter Sunday, this feels like a big deal, what am I going to say? And I sat with the story, and I thought, what would Jesus' take on it? If I could sit down with Jesus and talk to him about this, I would ask him, how do you feel about this, Jesus? And I think, this is all Daz now, I think Jesus would say, you know what, Daz, I love Barabbas. And I wanted him to go free. I think that's what he would say. And I would say, but didn't you know? Like, did you know what he was going to do? Like, well, how is he going to respond to things? What about the stuff he had done? Did you know that the families he ruined by killing those people? What about those people? And I think he would say, Daz, I just love Barabbas. And I think as he stood on that stage looking across at that guy, I don't know, past Pilate looking at him, his face wasn't filled with like hatred or envy at what was this freedom he was going to have. I think Jesus' face would have been filled with just love and compassion for that man. And if he could have spoke to him, it would have been with a look of encouragement. He said, it's okay, Barabbas. It's okay. Just trust me on this. Just go with this. Give me your sin, son. I'll take it from you. And today we can find in Barabbas' story a picture of just your life. Every single human life on earth can be found in Barabbas' story with Jesus. And you can know today that Jesus loved Barabbas, loved him, I think. And so Jesus loves you. And not in like a gushy, like huggy, kissy kind of lovey way, in a like, I will take the flack for you. I will take the punishment and the pain for you kind of way. I think Barabbas' story is a clear as day reminder for us that what we call salvation, or what I'm going to call just good vibes with God, like peace with God, you can't earn that. It's nothing you can do to make God love you. Don't try. You're wasting your energy if you're trying to be good enough to make God love you, because Barabbas reminds us that even the most unworthy are worthy of love from God's perspective. Barabbas was a murderer. At the end of the day, whatever else we read about him or we make up about him, he was a murderer, and Jesus loved him. Jesus took his place, not just like figuratively took his place, like he literally became the sacrifice and probably sat on the cross. Maybe that was lined up for someone like Barabbas so that he could go free and just walk away in freedom. And maybe you're sitting here this morning feeling like a bit of a failure, feeling alone, you've done things and you feel a bit unclean or dirty. Maybe you don't feel welcome in this place. Or maybe you haven't done that much and you feel like, I'm just not very important. Like, I'm insignificant. I'm easily missed. I'm just a face in a sea of people whom Jesus loves, and I'm not that big of a deal. And he really loves you. If you're anything like me and you were sat on that stage with Jesus and Pilate, you might have expected Jesus to kind of say, actually, I'm not really cool with this. I've got some stuff to do. I'm happy to like swap out. Or you might try to intervene. The guards come, they're taking off your chains. You're saying, no, this can't happen. Like, Jesus, I deserve the pain. I deserve all the stuff that's coming to me. I'm not going to let you do this. It's not right. And Jesus would say to us, it's okay, son. It's okay, daughter. I've got this. And I will conquer this. And in a few days' time, this will be done. And it will be done forever. And you might think, no. Like, no, Jesus, you can't. This is too much. How can you love me, Jesus? I just messed everything up. Even when I'm trying to do good stuff, I'm not always sure I'm getting that right. And he says, don't worry, Daz, or whatever your name is. I love you, and I've got you. Just give me your sin, and I'll take it away. And I think we too quickly forget, if we're believers here today, that it is by the grace of God that we are saved. If we're believers, it's amazing how certainly quickly I find myself, I know it's by the grace of God I'm saved, but I find myself sitting in a dark place and think, by the grace of God, I am where I am. But now I'm going to work hard to get myself out of this place and just stop it. Like, we could play those church games where, you know, people are just really blessed because of the way they pray, or the amount they know their Bible, or just the spiritual gift that they exercise in all the time. We could play those games, but at the end of the day, it's just Jesus. It was Jesus, it is Jesus, and it will always be just Jesus. There's nothing else you need, and there never will be, because Jesus is enough. So if you're sat here this morning wondering if he's enough for everybody, is he enough for me? Yes, he is enough for you. And let the story of Barabbas be proof to you that there is no one outside of the love of Jesus. I think the hardest part of the gospel, what we call the good news, is believing. It's believing in our hearts that there is a God in heaven with a love so great and so preposterous that he might send his own son to die for little old you. And it's believing that his love is a love that can reach down deep to where we think maybe we can't be found and pull us up out into the light and into the love of God. It's believing that, and that's tough sometimes. But I think this story of Barabbas and Jesus and the switchover shows us that God's love is for everyone, not just for Barabbas, not just for me, but it's for you too. And if that's news for you this morning, if you, for the first time ever, you know, you're meeting that loving gaze of Jesus across the stage and thinking, I didn't know someone could love me this much, then we would love to, as a church, just link you up with somebody who could tell you more about Jesus. I'm going to pray in a second. I'm nearly done, I promise. But if at the end of the service, come and grab me or Martin or anyone who looks like they're on the team, and we would love to link you up. If you're watching online, you can email, go on our website, find somewhere to contact us. We would love to help connect you with people that will teach you about the love of Jesus. This morning, if you go away with nothing else, just know that Jesus is enough for you. And he is all you need right now, and he is all you will ever need each and every day of your life. I would love to pray for us right now. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your patience with us. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for today when we can know with certainty that the work you did on the cross was completed and finished because you came back to life. Your love for us is greater even than death. And your resurrection gives us evidence that your word is trustworthy, that following you is not a waste of our lives, but that it could in fact be the whole purpose of our lives. Help us to carry this message of just preposterous salvation, of good vibes of God because of you and only you, into the world to change hearts and minds and to turn people to you, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Amen. Put together some questions that are going to come up on the screen.
Do you believe in God? What does God think about you? How would you fare if you were pitted against Jesus in a "which one do you want me to set free" moment? What do you think of the idea that Jesus is enough? Would you like to find out more about the Jesus story?
Thank you for that, Daz. Told you, Barabbas was good. And I had never thought about that really obvious point that actually we are Barabbas, that actually Barabbas did not deserve to go free. Barabbas did not deserve to walk free, but he benefited and Jesus took his place. Barabbas should have been the one who was probably executed, but instead Jesus took that place in the same way that he took our place. And that's really awesome. We often talk about the Easter story about us being in the crowd or us being these people and that people, but I've never thought about us being Barabbas. So thank you for that, Daz. And I think we're just going to, that idea about, you know, do we really recognise that Jesus is enough? And I think for me personally, I think it's one of those things that I know, but do I really know it? Like, you know, do you know what I mean?
No, I do know what you mean.
Like, I know that Jesus is enough, and I know that there's nothing that I can do that it hasn't been covered by Jesus. There's nothing I can do so wrong that Jesus hasn't already dealt with. However, I think when it actually comes to living that truth and actually going, it's okay, I know I just messed up, but God's got it, it's all right, blah, 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 is really an interesting one.
Yeah, I think it's believing it enough to give yourself that grace.
Yeah. Yeah, very much so. And I think that, yeah, but also not using it as an excuse.
Yeah.
Ah, it's all right. Jesus has dealt with it. I can get away with doing this. That's not the point. Grace is there for when we, you know, mess up without meaning to. Mm. It's, you know, slightly different. If when the grace is still there, if you think, oh, it's fine, the grace is there. It's still there. But that's, you know, a whole different thing you've then got to apologise for. But, you know, that's what it is. But, yeah, as Daz said, if any of this has really hit home with you and you're going, oh, that's really interesting. I've never thought about it that way. I've never known about that. I've never... I've got so many more questions. Maybe Daz has left you with answers. Maybe he's left you with questions. So do, as I said earlier, do contact us on gotquestions@holybaptist.org.uk. If you do have those questions, or if you have questions about baptism too, do get in touch on there. But thank you for joining us this morning, and thank you for Daz for sharing with us as well. And what a happy Easter it has been.
That was today's episode of Holy Baptist Church podcast. We hope it's prompted you to want to follow Jesus, hopefully a lot, but even just a little bit more closely. If you have any questions about what you've heard in today's episode, or you want to know more about what it means to follow Jesus, you can email us gotquestions@holybaptist.org.uk. We'd love to hear from you. It would really make our day. If you want to hear more from us, just a reminder, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and you can download the Holy Baptist Church app from the Apple App Store or Google Play to hear it as well. Simply search Holy Baptist Church. Thank you again for listening to Holy Baptist Church podcast. We pray God will bless you, and we'll see you next time.